Now, welcome back. On our panel are still here Lucinda Creighton, Pat Rabbit, simmer down, Paul Somerville, Jennifer Bray and Jerry Stembridge. And you know what? Because we did go down a little bit of a grim road there for a while, we're going to take one bit of a good news story that Lucinda Creighton was adamant she wanted to include.
Well, there's a lovely picture on page two of the Sunday Independent, which is a painted horse, which is painted as a zebra, which was apparently a dream of The Edge from U2. And it's painted by the artist Duda. And it's a lovely picture of a little boy with a little teddy. And it's basically promoting a nice initiative to raise money for the Injured Jockeys Fund. The photograph was taken at Naas Racecourse yesterday. There's 21 life-size horses which are being painted by some of Ireland's most prominent artists. And obviously it's kind of entering into the flat race season, the opening of the Curra, Derby Day, etc., coming up. So, just a nice. Just
tell us quickly
one.
Why The Edge wanted an Arabian horse painted like a zebra.
Well, it just says, I've always loved zebras, but as a kid, I discovered that they could never be tamed or ridden like their cousin, the horse. And that was his fantasy, a cross between an Arabian horse and a zebra. Isn't that lovely?
Okay, good man, The Edge. Maya Dunphy, welcome.
Well, does he want to ride zebras? Is that it?
You're very literal. It's poetic.
I
like
know.
He's thinking about this. The
I'm
zebra.
I'm not literal.
Is this
I'm just messing.
Almost a
That's
mythical
all.
Creature that can never be broken. It's like a unicorn. And so he wanted the agreeableness of a horse, but with the wild spirit of a zebra. I think
well,
that's.
Go
I don't want to speak
now,
for the Edge, but I think that's roughly what the Edge is getting at.
Haven't actually paid to the horse.
No, it's a
painting of a horse.
It's a life-size model of a horse.
Oh, yeah. I'm glad we clarified
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
Now, we all like a good laugh, and everybody argues over what their favourite sitcom is and what's funny and what's not funny. So this week, the Radio Times magazine published a poll of the top 20 sitcoms ever. The definitive top 20 sitcoms ever this time, yes.
Deemed by the Radio Times.
Maya Dunphy is going to give us her view on it now. So, Maya, do you want to tell us a bit about the list of shows that made the list?
To end on a light note, the Radio Times published every few years. These lists come out of the greatest comedy. But it's very difficult. Comedy is not a science, as I think everybody here knows. So, you know, you can't be right or wrong. It's an art. So even discussing comedy really is kind of futile. And it depends on who's running the survey. In the Radio Times, I would assume most people who were questioned or who voted in this were probably over 50, maybe over 60. So then nostalgia comes into play. I think with comedy, nostalgia, it has no place. Like, nostalgia is a strange thing. It's uniquely human, and it's fairly useless most of the time, apart from giving out unwelcome advice or for Christmas movies. But aside from that, nostalgia is not the most helpful thing in the world,
I think.
But I'm not saying that these. No, let's start with the up. So, Fawlty Towers, a classic, but only 12 were ever made. It's a 70s one. Then we have Father Ted.
But does everyone not agree on Fawlty Towers, roughly?
Yes.
Quickly around the table. You'll rarely get someone to say, no, I don't
but
get Fawlty
Towers.
But
even people who haven't seen Fawlty Towers think it's the best.
We've all seen it about 10 times at this stage. I think your children have practically seen it already when they're born at this stage. We have a little Fawlty Towers clip.
Manuel, there is too much butter on those trays. There is too much butter on those trays.
No, senor. What? Not on those trays. No, sir. Uno, dos, tres.
No. I'm mucho burro ali. Nothing, dear. I'm just dealing with it.
He speaks good, how you say?
English. Well, I don't know why you wanted to hire him, Basil.
Because he's cheap and keen to learn, dear. And in this day and age...
But why did you say you could speak the language?
I learned classical Spanish, not the strange dialect he seems to have picked up.
Hang on.
Everything you need to know about Brexit is in Fawlty Towers.
But are we laughing at, the Spanish guy is stupid and everything? Would you get away with that now?
No, you wouldn't. You simply wouldn't. Now, that's pure farce and it's brilliant. But can you imagine putting that into a comedy today? You'd be accused of cultural appropriation and racism. And I was at a friend's house the other week.
But everyone
and her
was
niece
laughing.
Was there. Because it's brilliant. Well, I was talking about
Barcelona.
Pretty Woman with a friend of mine. Her niece, who's 14, with a frown said to me, oh, Pretty Woman, that was a film about the prostitute who had to rely on a rich man. I said, please don't you, it should be banned. We're starting a petition in school to have that film banned. I went, oh, that was a huge part of my childhood. But what was funny, what was deemed funny in the 70s wouldn't really be allowed now. It doesn't mean it's not funny. But can you imagine an actor like the late, great Andrew Sachs putting on a Spanish accent and saying "qué, qué." It wouldn't be allowed. Doesn't mean it's not funny. It was pure farce.
Everything is problematic now.
Actually, yeah.
Everything
Tom problematic. Gerk has a good article today in the Business Post where he's juxtaposing Fawlty Towers with Brexit. No, it's a pretty good one. Yeah.
Well, Brexit's all about nostalgia.
Well,
as well.
Exactly.
Harking back
to
the good old days.
But he's pointing out, which I wasn't aware of, that BBC have actually banned a couple of parts of episodes of Fawlty Towers.
I hadn't heard that.
Yeah, so there you go now.
Okay, Maya, we go on down the list. Father Ted, number two, and again, sure, nobody disagrees on
Father
Ted.
And it's a classic.
I'm Alan Partridge. Alan Partridge was back again recently. I think this is the first Alan Partridge they're talking about, is it?
Yes, I think the recent remake is amazing. If you're a fan of Steve Coogan, I think you love Alan Partridge. I don't know if the panel love him. Yeah. But it's that awkward comedy that came into vogue in the 90s. And some people, if you have to explain why something is funny, then you're already, you know, on the back foot fighting a losing battle. But I think Alan Partridge is brilliant. Very much that kind of mockumentary style of comedy. Then The Office followed that.
Does the list include The Big Bang?
No, it doesn't. And you know what, Pat? That's one that I never got into.
That's amazing, really. Yeah.
Pat Rabbit is a fan.
What? The Big Bang Theory.
Good
Absolutely,
God.
Yeah.
Well, I'll throw another into the mix because, you see, I think it was a British list, wasn't it?
Yes.
Because
the Radio Times.
Because, you know, I agree with Fawlty Towers.
Or is it they only included British ones? Yes.
All right, because
if it was an RTE guide list now, it would be very different.
I agree about Fawlty Towers with the one exception, and that's Frasier. I think Frasier is the greatest.
Really? That's the
greatest
the one for you.
But this is the thing, it's so subjective. It is like, you know, trying to choose what is the greatest book of all time or the greatest painting of all time. It's it's completely subjective. Yeah. The greatest songs, it's always going back to the Beatles and Elvis. Yeah. Whereas if you ask people under 30, under 25, you'd get very different responses. Are they right or are they wrong? No, not really.
Lucinda, yours?
My favourite sitcom of all time. Oh my God. I love Fawlty Towers, and I love the fact that there's a limited number of episodes, because it's sort of testament to just how outstanding
only 12
the comedy was. I love it. I love Father Ted. I mean, I love watching comedies, to be honest.
Paul Somerville, when you're not being a prophet of doom, what makes you
Seinfeld would be my number one by far.
It probably is for
prophet
me as well.
Prophet of Doom,
I think,
is a great name for a sitcom. I'm going to write that one down.
Yeah, well listen, there's your star there. Just observe Paul Somerville for a few weeks. I want to go back to Alan Partridge because I have a clip and I'm determined to shoehorn it in.
Oh, well,
and
this
I think
clip.
So tell us about this clip now, because we should contextualise it, because again,
this is a clip from one of the early series of Alan Partridge, and it features Arthur Matthews and Graham Linehan as two Irish producers who have come over to talk to him about an idea for a show.
Okay, here we go.
So, how many people were killed in the Irish famine?
2 million, and another 2 million had to leave the country.
Right. I mean, if it was just the potatoes that were affected, at the end of the day, you will pay the price if you're a fussy eater. If they could afford to emigrate, then they could afford to eat in a modest restaurant. Could we come live from the Blarney Stone? I'm trying to get an angle on this.
See, Alan, I think you're increasingly moving towards an area we want to move away from.
Yep. You're absolutely right. Live TV can blow up in your face. Sorry about that. You must be sick of that.
What?
You know, being blown up, bombs.
I'm from Dublin, not from Dublin.
We're from Dublin.
All right. But that's where you make them.
Now, everyone here laughing away all through that, laughing at the famine and everything. There are going to be people, Maya, who are offended by that.
And in the more recent incarnation of Alan Partridge, this time, which is on the last couple of months, he reprised an Irish character. He used a lookalike, Alan Partridge lookalike, who came on and ended up singing Come Out You Black and Tans, excuse me, on a BBC show. And I think sometimes people get offended on behalf of other people. And they say, oh my God, you're Irish. What's that? So I said, no, it's brilliant. And that clip is absolutely brilliant. But I think there has to be heart in it. And Steve Coogan has a real warmth and fondness for Ireland and Irish people. And it's very much a parody, but not...
Can I also make
offensive,
a nerdy point just about that particular clip from Alan Partridge, that the writer-producer on that was Armando Iannucci. And that's a name that may not be well known, but he is very much a force with Alan Partridge, The Thick of It, and in America with The Veep. Yeah. So he's an extraordinary influence.
There's also, get the DVD, The Armando Iannucci Show. Did you ever see it?
I did, yes.
Which is one of my favourite comedies of all time. It's more a sketch-based show. Yeah. Absolutely genius, but it just seemed to disappear.
Oh, and Chris Morris as well. We put Father Ted aside, Jerry Stembridge. Yeah. What's the greatest
Irish sitcom? I love Father Ted.
It would be the obvious answer. Yeah. Is there another great Irish sitcom?
No. I can't think of it.
Path to Freedom was very good.
Oh, yes,
it was. Dead
Right. Yeah. Past the Freedom was great.
That's back up in the RT player, and people started watching it again. Absolutely. It was very good.
Yes, and it does qualify as sitcom. I mean, we do so little
in the I'm very upset that Black Box isn't on that list. That is one of the best sitcoms ever.
Black
Dylan
Books
Moore
is brilliant. Yeah.
Moore,
this,
yeah.
I mean, there's only 20 there. And then the idea of can there be instant classics? I think now we're coming back to a time where people are being far edgier in comedy. And Sharon Horgan and Ricky Gervais, The Catastrophe and Afterlife, I think are two sitcoms
I'm still not even sure.
I like it a lot.
We have seen, and it's Sharon Horgan and I guess with Derry Girls as well.
Derry Girls, yes.
Women used to be funny, we were told. And they seem to be at the vanguard now, aren't they?
Particularly how did we learn to be funny, Brendan? Women just weren't a part of comedy because in the 70s it was all either class wars or it was middle-aged men and their social ambitions being thwarted. And women just didn't have a part in it. But I think comedy
is Catherine Tate there?
No.
But she's the funniest ever.
She's brilliant. But comedy is sort of anthropological too, and it mirrors what society is doing. And women weren't in comedy clubs 40 years ago, and now they are.
It's funny that we're more humorous, or we regard ourselves as more humorous than the Brits. But actually, the Brits are the ones who write the comedy. I know
we're funnier.
We're funnier in conversation. They have teams of writers.
We are. Should we have Dunphy on earlier?
Okay.
They have a deep tradition. They have developed a tradition over 50 years
they
now.
They also
of comedy,
spend a lot of time put more into developing comedy than we do.
We'll all keep going on this for ages, I sense. Maya, thank you very much. Sorry, we didn't have more time. I know. Well, we'll talk to you about it again.